More and more in today's world, you will be confronted with the fact when you speak with religious people, with their thought that the Lord Jesus Christ is little more than an add-on, something or someone who came along and became useful through his lifestyle and through what he did for the physical well-being of men and women. One of the greatest verses in all of the Bible to prove the eternality of Christ is verse 1 of this chapter. In fact, it's a verse that I have used in discussion with Jehovah's Witnesses on the door. It says there, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God," referring to Christ himself. And they will say to you, but where you read there, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God." Well, I was confronted with that very situation once, and the person I was speaking to was actually quite arrogant. And they said, "Well, are you a Greek scholar?" And I said, "I'm not a Greek scholar," but at that time I knew the verse in Greek from being in the college. And I was able to show them that where it says, "And the Word was God," is singular. He's not one of many gods, but rather Christ is very God of very God. And men and women, he was there at the creation. And never let anyone tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ is anything less than deity. And tonight, as we come to consider the gospel, and as we focus especially upon what we've read here in verse 5, "And the light shineth in darkness," we are again reminded of Christ's relationship to the gospel, of how he is the central theme of our worship, but how he is constantly, through the Word of God, associated with the transformation of men and women. And it's a tremendous text, because there is something about light that very often, it seems, appeals to men and women. Even with the weather, I was saying to someone tonight, it's been so nice now for a while, and it gives a nice day tomorrow, but by this time next week, things may have changed quite a lot. And when you get dull days, it affects how we think. Because we love going out and looking at the blue sky, and everything seems so much brighter. Light is something which very often, even in the physical realm, is attractive to men. And here we have the Lord Jesus Christ referred to as light. And folks, tonight he is still light. And if you're not a Christian at this moment in time, the Christ that we're talking about tonight can change you. Maybe your argument is that of many, "I don't want changed." Well, I wonder tonight, would you bear with us as we look here at a message that we have entitled "Life-Changing Light for Seekers." Light, life-changing light for seekers. I want you to notice with me, first of all, the unique work of this light. Now, Christ is the light. His own testimony regarding himself was that he was the light of the world. Now, if you look back with me just a verse to verse 4, it says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of man." Now, if you pause here for a moment and think that life and light are polar opposites to death and darkness, and every believer tonight in this gathering can recall that time when for them the change came, where death gave way to eternal life, where awful natural darkness was replaced by light when Christ came in. These are very, very easy verses to read. But in those first five verses in John's Gospel, we are presented with your greatest need if you are not saved at this moment in time. This light and life is what you need most. I mentioned earlier that Christ was present at the creation whenever this world was spoken into existence. And today in the world, there are so many religions and so many individuals and so many people simply by their negligence and rejection. They sweep him aside as far as being anything significant for them is concerned. And there seems to be more and more man-made substitutes for what really brings life in its truest meaning to the hearts and lives of men and women. I'm sure I'm not speaking to anyone, whether you're here in the meeting or listening on sermon audio somewhere else in the world. I'm not speaking to anyone who doesn't want life at its best. The advertising campaigns that we see, all these pretty girls and handsome young men in the pub with their alcohol painting such a beautiful picture of participating in that which can not only ruin your life but can lead to your soul being damned forever. Substitutes. A portrayal of something which is not good for you men, and when portrayed as something which brings real life to you. I think it was back in the 1990s. There was a preacher was visiting, I'm not sure, but I think it was New York. And the other preacher, pastor that he went to visit there, he brought him downtown New York with all the speed and how fast life was and how different things were there. And he brought him along and there were all kinds of people, hawkers trying to flog this, that, and the other in the street. But there was this one man sitting there and he hadn't been shaved for a good while. And that doesn't mean if you have a beard, dear friend, that there's anything wrong with your beard. I'm not referring to that. He just was unkempt. And he was there and he looked very through other and careless. And he was sitting at the side of the street. I'm not sure that he was begging, but he was hoping that someone would give something to him. And the preacher who was visiting, he said to the other pastor, he said, "Would you look at that poor man?" And he said, he's always here. He comes down here nearly every day and he sits there and eventually people give him something. They give him something. And then he told his story. And he told of how he'd been brought up in a very hardworking family, how he had been very intelligent, and he had gone through university and been extremely bright. And eventually, in the States, he became a congressman. And that went on for a little time. And then he began to get into all that is involved or can be involved at that level of government. He took a drink. And then he took another drink. And then he got involved in other things. And in what seemed like a relatively short period of time, he went from being a highly paid congressman in the United States to a drunk sitting in the side of the street hoping that someone would give him something. And men and women, when he got involved in those things, he thought he was getting life. That he was getting involved in what real life was. And he ended up there in the gutter. And men, that is what sin always does. Sin, and we cannot gloss over it or paint it up, sin always brings the death of morality. It brings destruction to the family. It brings despair to society. When I was a lot younger, probably in my teens, I remember looking at a book, and I didn't open it, but I saw the title on the book. You may be able to look it up if you wish to. And it simply said, "The Coming Anarchy." And way back then, I thought, well, you know, there's trouble surely, but I don't think there's a coming anarchy. I wouldn't say that now. Despair to society, destruction to the family, death to morality. But sin brings eternal death to men and women who are spoken of in this chapter 1 in John's Gospel, of those in verse 11 who received him not. See that? He came to his own, but his own received him not. In Matthew's Gospel 25, Matthew 25, story there, which really is one of judgment. Looking here, and really, when we're looking at an unprofitable servant, it's the picture of an unsaved man or woman. It says, "And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Men and women, that is not a fiction. That is not a figment of the writer's imagination. That is reality, a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that is where there will be eternal death. But Christ is the remedy. Christ is the remedy. He is the cure. We've read tonight there that the life was the light of men. The life was a light of men. And when John was writing, John chapter 10, over there in verse 10, words here we find of Christ, says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly." You remember what I mentioned about that congressman thinking that he found life, destroyed him? When we think of people we love and care about and they think they're finding life, it's destroying them. Well, here is life. It says that they might have it more abundantly, and the thought there behind abundantly is with no rival. That they might have life with no rival. And Christian, that's what you have in Christ. You have true life that is the light of men. And it has no rival that can in any way be comparable with what you find in him. There's many in Achillea tonight, lying in darkness, in McGabbery, and in Ballinderry, and in Moira, and all over the place. And Christ is the one who can bring life and light to them. Lovely verse over in Isaiah. I was reading it recently again, and I'm sure you have read it as well. Isaiah chapter 60. It says in verse 2, "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising." And the thought there is of men and women being transformed. You see, there is no transformation without him. But when he transforms and gives you life, then that life, there's nothing comparable with it. Again, a good wee while ago, I'm not sure how many years ago it was, there was a young fella who took ill, and he was his health was getting worse, And there was this nurse who was looking after him, and he kept asking her to read the Bible for him. But he asked her to read a specific passage. John 5 and 24. John 5 and 24. He got her to read these verses, but this was the verse that he kept talking to her about. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth in him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. And she read it to him on different occasions, every time he asked her to. And then one day he called for her. And he says, I've now got an understanding of the verse, and it has happened for me. And she said, what has happened for you? He says, I have now passed from death to life. He found the Lord. The Lord had saved him. And she cared for him for another little while. And then he passed away and went to be with the Lord. She didn't forget. And folks, for 4 whole years, she kept thinking of this verse. John's Gospel, chapter 5 and verse 24. And 4 years later, that nurse herself was converted and saved. She went around testifying to other people in her work of how both her and the young man, in finding Christ, had been brought from death to life. Folks, both of them found life more abundant in Jesus. They both found life more abundant in him. And I wonder tonight, is he anything to you? If you think here of the unique work of this light, he gives life. He gives life to that which is dead, and he can give it to you. But I want to move on and notice with you something else about this light that we're looking at tonight. It says, the light shineth in the darkness. The second thought is this. It is the pursuing of light. You see the word shineth there? It says in verse 5 in John chapter 1, and the light shineth in darkness. The word shineth is a word which it carries the meaning of causing something to appear. Have you ever gone out in the dark with a torch looking for something? You can't see anything. And then when you're going around with your torch, you suddenly spot what it is you're looking for. Well, that is the thought here. And where it says the light shineth in darkness, the thought is of Christ the light pursuing men and women, following after them. And he does that in the place of darkness. Way back a long time ago now, I was in London once. Actually, in the city once, and I remember standing down in the tube station in the metro, whatever you want to call it. It's a long time ago when I was just in my early 20s, standing there. I was just converted a few months, probably. And down in the train station, there was one of the Trinitarian Bible Society gospel texts. I can't remember which one it was, but it was there. And I remember looking at it. And then I remember standing and looking around me and realizing the great darkness. Yes, London can be a lovely place to visit. And sometimes people who haven't been there have this romantic idea about how it's all so good. Well, looking around me down there in the train station, there's just a picture of sin everywhere. Men and women who look blank, listening to language seeing people with their alcohol. All around me, people who were in emptiness, who were in darkness, and yet there was the word on the poster. It was God's word there shining, because it is the word that the Lord uses. And the word was there, put there by well-meaning people who had it there in order that men might read it, because they knew that Christ's delight pursued men. Didn't matter how far gone they were. During the past week, I was over in Banbridge to get a message there, and I was coming past the coach. I remember when I was about 19, being in there more than once, and how bad it was then. And thinking of the awful darkness that there was. I was even aware of the darkness, even though I wasn't saved. It didn't feel wholesome at all. And then whenever I was in Whitfield College, someone asked us, I think it was a youth group to do with the Flame Youth Rally years ago, had asked some of us to come down and have a little open air outside the coach, and we did that. I remember a young girl coming up to me when I was just speaking and coming out with all of these abominable language to my face. And I just looked at her, and then I think she felt a bit uncomfortable at what she said, and she just dropped her head like that and walked on in. What darkness, men and women. And it is in these very places of darkness where we have the light, we have Christ pursuing men and women. I'm not the only one. There are many, many people who would have frequented that place and other similar places, and they're saved because they were pursued by the light. And I wonder where you are tonight in life's experience. What is it? I'm not prying into your business in any way, but just wondering, as far as hope is concerned and assurance is concerned and thoughts perhaps on the future are concerned, what are you looking to? Maybe this Sunday finds you as a person who has not started this day off pursuing the light. Well, he's pursuing you. He's pursuing you. And in our prayers every day and here in the church, we're praying that he will pursue those that we care about and those that we know of who don't know him. You see, the place of this shining is in darkness. And the light shows up the darkness, shows up that which is being sought out in the darkness. And all things are opened and naked before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. There's nowhere to hide. I wonder, when he looks at your heart tonight, does he see it washed in the blood of Christ and ready for heaven? Or does he see you still as a candidate for the caverns of the lost forever? See, light doesn't shine in darkness because darkness deserves it. But light shines in darkness because of what we call grace. Grace. Over in the book of Romans, chapter 3, I'm sure you know the passage well, some of you, chapter 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then it says in verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. I didn't deserve grace. Ugly Village doesn't deserve grace. There's no one listening to this message who deserves grace, but God in his providential dealings with us has presented us with the opportunity to receive this grace. Remember, Christ is the light. He's the one we're talking about tonight, and his own words were, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. may have referred in the original context, immediate context, to his lifting up on the cross, but he's lifted up in preaching. We must do that. And that's what we do tonight. We lift before you tonight the light. And he said, I will draw all men on to me. That is not saying that every single person will be saved. In the original means some of all kind, some of your kind, some of my kind. So we have here, when we think of this life-changing light for seekers, I wonder, are you a seeker? Have you sought him yet? Have you sought him yet? We thought first of all of the unique work of light. Light, it gives life, brings life. And then of the pursuing of light. When you're not pursuing him or even interested, men and women, he loves you and he's an interest in you. But I want to think finally here of banishing the light. See what it says there in verse 5, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Comprehended it not. The word comprehended there means, refers to overcoming something. But the word not is there in the text. These were people who could not, it seems, they could not, or they would not turn from their sin. There was obviously a conflict going on in their heart, as there may be in yours just now. Hearing about light, which is appeals to all men, but having your own plan and how you might get that light. Maybe it's a light of God's word men seem time and time again to have a difficulty with. And they run away from it. And I've shared before in preaching that when we were looking worms for fishing years ago at home, you just went out into the field and it was a big stone or a big sheet of tin. You usually rolled it over. And if you were quick, you could get the little worms. There was usually a part of them sticking out of the ground. You could pull them out and drop them into your jam jar. But when you did that, there were millipedes and centipedes and spiders and earwigs and all kind of creatures. And they didn't sit there and look at you. They ran away. They didn't like the light. They ran away into the grass and into. They were very content under the stone or under the tin or under the wood. But they did not like the light. And men and women today are so like that. They don't like the light. They comprehend it not. They cannot get beyond their love of their sin. And I wonder tonight, are you going to be one of those who banishes the light? I remind you again of what it says there, that he came to his own, and his own received him not. It says, but as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And that's where we want to get you to tonight if you're not saved. To that point where you believe to the salvation of your soul. Many thought that when Christ was put to death, they'd heard about his preaching and what is called a repentance of men, calling men to repentance, but they thought when he was put to death on the cross, they had snuffed out the light. But that was the end of what he called light. But they did not account for the devastating blow that his resurrection would be to darkness. The final reference, if I can look with you in Colossians, there. Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. Speaking of those who are saved, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead, that you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. And then here's some tremendous verse. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. That is a victory of the cross. That is your hope tonight. The light lives. Are you going to banish the light? Maybe you don't feel that your darkness is too bad. Sometimes when we were very small in our house at home or out in the countryside, we would, in the evening time there, we would switch out all the lights and play hide and seek in the house. Such a racket. But you couldn't see anything. As soon as the lights went out, it was pitch dark. You could not literally see your finger in front of your eyes. But we knew from our experience before we went looking for each other that if you waited a while, you could start to make out the outline of the settee and the different seats and the different parts, the different items of furniture in the house. And you could see outlines. And if you waited for a little while, the darkness didn't seem so dark. But folks, it was still darkness. And men who spend decades in their sin, I fear, sometimes convince themselves that, well, darkness isn't so dark after all, because they can find their way. Still darkness. Still darkness, and still the reason why you need the light. Remember, the light, the life was the light of man. The light is still shining in darkness. And I trust tonight that you will come to this light. Come while you may to the Savior tonight. May the Lord bless his word to your heart, and may you be a seeker, one whose life is changed by seeking him while he may be found.